coming back to the Lempel-Sieve algorithm, which you referred earlier in the question, I guess, the first step was actually to try and understand how to actually cope with the case where you don't know what the statistics is, and you have to cleverly learn on the way what it is while dealing and compressing the data as it comes in. And this finally led to a whole theory of universal data compression. And the final result that was developed jointly with Abraham Lempel here at the Technion again, led to an optimal solution, namely that we were able to show that asymptotically, when you deal with longer and longer sequences, you actually can compress the data to the very same minimal rate that you could get even if somebody would have told you what the statistics is exactly. So that's nice. Now, in science, you need also, you don't have to be clever, you have to be lucky too. And we were lucky in the sense that the tools by which we were able to prove this nice result also led to a very efficient algorithm, which was linear in time, namely if you need to compress a sequence of, say, n letters, the number of computations that you had to do was proportional to n, rather than much more than that in all those schemes, or even in the Huffman scheme. Even the Huffman scheme, which is very efficient, the complexity is bigger, despite of the fact that you do know what the statistics is. So the very fact that the mathematical tool by which we were able to prove these results turned out to be led to a very efficient algorithm, and this really makes it so popular and famous.
Yes.
And let me mention another interesting example where the very same thing happened. It's the Viterbi algorithm, the very, very famous Viterbi algorithm, which is one of the cornerstones in communication systems and so forth. Again, Andrew Viterbi developed it because he was interested in proving some mathematical theorem which had to do with convolutional code. It was a form of coding which was at that time very popular. And through that, he was able to come up out with an algorithm, which basically was a mathematical tool to prove a theorem, but turned out to be a very efficient algorithm which everybody is using. And what made it famous, again, is that very fact. So this led to the algorithm. And when it was developed, actually, the practical impact was not felt, because at that time people weren't that much interested there was no real need for data compression in communication. I mean, it was used at that time in the 70s for magnetic recording and so forth. But insofar as communication, there was no real need until, of course, when the internet came in, and there was a huge need for that. And this is why now this algorithm is actually integrated in all the classical communication algorithms that are being used in the internet for transmitting data error-free, as well as in JPEG and other algorithms. So this has to do with the Lempel-Sieve algorithm and how what was the motivation for that? Actually, trying to get rid of the the need to get rid of the need to know what the statistics of the source is, because in practice you never know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are being fed with the data. It is usually man-made. Sometimes it's rather foolish even to try to model it statistically. And by the way, the theory that we developed with Abraham Lempel was able of actually to cope with individual sequences, not only, I mean, for the results had referred to an individual sequence, even if it's not being generated by some probabilistic source. So the probabilistic assumption was really not needed at all. So it was, mathematically, it was a very strong result from that respect. But that was, this has to do with sources. I then got interested in similar problems, which has to do with the case where the channel is not known. You know, what about the channel? And the so what do you do then? And then I have been working on that for a number of years, and I was able to show that there are ways by which you can transmit over channels, a wide class of channels, actually, channels with vanishing memory. There's no need to go into details, I guess. But the idea is channels which do have memory, but not an infinite one, I mean, a fading memory. But anyhow, for those channels, and these, most of the channels are like that, it was possible to show that you can get error-free transmission through the channel without a priori knowing what the channel statistic is. And not only that you can do it, but if the messages are long enough, you can actually get an error decay which was identical to the rate which was possible to get when you know what the standard statistic is. So asymptotically, you again didn't lose anything.